My name is Eddie, and I've lived in Thailand for the last 3 years. Living abroad isn't always easy, but I've really built a life for myself here. I have a great friend group of both locals and expats, and I love my teaching job. I grew up in rural America, and I never really felt comfortable there. As a gay kid growing up in a rural town, I had to deal with some small-minded people. I was bullied a lot, and as soon as I graduated high school, I was out of there. I haven't looked back since. Last month, I was checking my Facebook for the first time in a while, and I noticed a private message from someone that I hadn't thought about in years. His name was Tommy, and he was the main reason my childhood was so awful. He made my life miserable. He'd call me names and beat me up on a near daily basis. It got so bad that I almost didn't graduate because I was missing so much school. It honestly took me years to get over the anxiety and self-hatred that Tommy caused. I hadn't thought about him in years, mostly because it was too painful. When I saw that he'd messaged me, I felt physically sick. I stared at my laptop for about an hour before I had the courage to read the message. When I opened it, though, I was shocked to see that he'd written me an apology. It was pages and pages long. He listed off a bunch of stuff he had done to me back in high school, including things that I honestly didn't even remember. He explained that he was closeted back then, that he'd been so terrible to me because he was jealous that I could live my life openly, and he asked me to forgive him. I thought for a long time about how I should respond. I considered just ignoring it because I didn't owe him anything. But eventually, I wrote a single sentence, "Thanks for letting me know." That was it. I figured that sending something so short would show him that I appreciated the message, but that I didn't ever want to hear from him again. He responded right away, thanking me for writing back, and then he started asking me about my life in Thailand. It kind of creeped me out to know that my high school bully knew where I lived now. I wrote that it was great, and that's when we started having a conversation. He started by asking me generic questions about my life, but as we kept messaging, things got more personal. He seemed to be genuinely interested in my teaching career, and he asked me all sorts of stuff about my travels. I love teaching and traveling more than anything, so I answered his questions. This went on for over an hour, and slowly I realized that maybe he'd changed. Maybe he wasn't the monster that he used to be. Then the conversation took a dark turn. We were talking about how easy it is to travel around in Thailand, and he said, "It must help that you live so close to a subway station." That's when I realized that something was wrong. How did he know that I lived near a subway station? I'd never mentioned it. I told him that I had to go, and he said that he'd talk to me later. After that, I read through our entire conversation to see if there was any mention of the subway station that I'd forgotten about. There wasn't. However, as I read through his messages, I noticed that he knew other things about me as well. He knew that I went to karaoke on Fridays, for example. He knew that I taught fifth graders. He even knew that my students had a dance performance last month. None of this was public knowledge. There was only one explanation. Tommy was stalking me. I decided to stay off Facebook for a bit. I noticed that he sent me more messages in the next few days, but I refused to open them. I hoped that he would take the hint and leave me alone, but then something really strange happened. I was walking home from the karaoke bar at about 3 in the morning when I noticed someone watching me from the distance. He was hiding behind a dumpster, so I couldn't see him too well, but I knew that it was Tommy. My heart sank. This psycho wasn't just cyber-stalking me. He'd flown halfway around the world to find me. What did he want? What sort of mind games was he trying to play? I ran down the street and into my apartment building. I didn't turn around to see if he was still there. After that, I was always on edge. Whenever I was in a public place, I always looked around to see if I could spot Tommy. Anytime I saw someone tall and blonde, my heart raced, worried that it was him. I was getting really paranoid. Then one night, I went to the ground floor of my apartment building to use the exercise room. Usually, there are other people nearby, but that night, I was all alone. I had my headphones in, listening to a podcast, but I couldn't stop my heart from racing. I wanted to go back to my room, but I refused to live in fear. I'd left America to escape guys like Tommy, and I wasn't going to let him ruin my new life here in Thailand. I used the treadmill for a bit, trying to stay calm, and then the door to the exercise room creaked open. I looked over my shoulder and there he was. Tommy was standing there, smiling awkwardly. He apologized for scaring me. He asked if we could just sit down and talk. I ran. I didn't know what else to do. He screamed for me to stop, chasing me through the lobby. I could have tried to get in the elevator, but I didn't have enough time. It was already so close behind me. So instead, I raced out the front door and into the street. When I got to the sidewalk, he caught up to me and grabbed me by the arm. "Please," he said. "I already told you I was sorry." "Why are you here?" I asked. "I live here too," he said. "I didn't know that you were here until I saw you in a crowd, and that's when I knew that it was fate. I had to make things right. I had to tell you that I love you. I've always loved you." I pushed him off me and backed away, right into the street. "Stop!" he screamed. I wouldn't. I was terrified. I kept backing away from him. And that's when he dove at me. It happened so fast, I could barely register what was happening. He pushed me with all his strength, and as I fell backwards, his screaming axe slammed into him. He wasn't attacking me after all. He was saving me from getting hit by a car. I jumped up, bruised but otherwise okay. I walked over to Tommy, who was bleeding on the asphalt. He looked up at me and tried to say something, but then he passed out. Tommy's still in the hospital now. I hope he's okay. I know he's a crazy stalker, but he still saved my life. I'm not sure if I'm going to visit him there, but if I do, I'll thank him for saving me, and I'll tell him to leave me alone forever. I sat alone in the dimly lit room, the oppressive weight of sorrow pressing against my chest like a suffocating embrace. The pain of losing my boyfriend, his callous rejection driven by my own reflection in the mirror, still echoed through the caverns of my shattered heart. The relentless taunting and bullying had carved deep scars into my fragile self-confidence, leaving me a hollow shell yearning for solace. Fingers trembling, I navigated the virtual platform of Facebook, my eyes heavy with unshed tears. And then, like a flickering beacon of hope amidst the desolate night, I stumbled upon a group. Its name whispered promises of acceptance and understanding, a haven for young souls burdened by the weight of their own flesh. Intrigued, I hesitated for a fleeting moment, my fragile heart pulsating with anticipation. Then, driven by the ache of loneliness, I took a trembling step and clicked the join button, hoping to find solace in the company of kindred spirits. As I delved into the depths of this newfound community, a sensation akin to breathing in the first, crisp breath of spring enveloped me, a fragile bloom unfurling its petals after a long, harsh winter. The virtual walls of the group became my sanctuary, adorned with the whispers of empathy and the gentle touch of compassion. In this haven of shared experiences, I found the courage to cast off the chains of self-doubt, to embrace the beauty within me that had long been eclipsed by society's cruel gaze. With each passing day, the tendrils of connection grew stronger, weaving a tapestry of kinship that bound us together. We reveled in the triumphs, however small, and cradled one another through the darkest nights of despair. It was within these virtual realms that I discovered the strength to dream anew, to envision a future painted with colors once washed out by tears. And then someone reached out to me via a private message, as if by some wicked enchantment. A member of the group, shrouded in mystery, spoke of a forbidden knowledge, an elixir more potent than the tea we had all clung to, promising to melt away the burdensome flesh. Curiosity danced with caution within my chest as I entertained the idea of the clandestine solution, the allure of a transformed self tugging at the corners of my mind. When he sent the private message, introducing himself as Daniel, curiosity made me want to find out what he had to offer as the elixir. I was ready to embrace whatever would make me more beautiful. With trepidation wrapped in the cloak of hope, I agreed to meet the messenger of this newfound revelation. An invitation was extended, carrying with it the weight of possibility and the tantalizing aroma of whispered dreams. Our meeting place, a dimly lit cafe nestled within the city's labyrinth heart, beckoned me into its secretive embrace. As I pushed open the heavy wooden doors of the cafe, a wave of stifling air enveloped me, as if the very atmosphere held its breath, waiting for the unfolding of something ominous. The dimly lit interior seemed to cast elongated shadows that clung to the walls, whispering secrets only the darkness could comprehend. And there he stood, as if conjured from the ethereal depths of my own desires. Daniel, an enigma wrapped in a cloak of familiarity, his slender figure seemed to sway with otherworldly grace, like a specter dancing on the edges of perception. His eyes, pools of darkness flecked with specks of starlight, held a glimmer of something ancient and dangerous. It was as if the moon itself had carved his form, blending elegance and enigma into a beguiling allure. A wisp of a smile curled upon his lips as he extended a hand in greeting. "Rachel," he murmured. His voice was a melodious blend of honeyed tones and hidden depths. "I'm glad you decided to meet me. There's something I'd like to show you." I hesitated, my gaze flickering with a mix of curiosity and caution. What could it be? What secret lies beyond the confines of our group's knowledge? Daniel's eyes gleamed with an intensity that sent shivers down my spine. "There's a place," he began, his voice taking an almost hypnotic cadence. "A hidden sanctuary, far away from the world's prying eyes, a place where we can find solace. Where your burdens will melt away like shadows under the midday sun." The allure of such a promise tugged at my vulnerable heart. The desire to shed the weight that had burdened my existence grew stronger with every word he spoke, but a nagging doubt gnawed at the corners of my mind. "Why haven't you shared this with the rest of the group?" I questioned, the hint of suspicion coloring my words. A flicker of something unreadable flashed across Daniel's eyes, gone as quickly as it had appeared. "Some secrets are meant to be shared only with the chosen ones," he replied, his voice dripping with cryptic mystery. "The journey I offer is not for the faint of heart. It requires a leap of faith, a willingness to delve into the unknown." I chewed on my lower lip, uncertainty warring with curiosity within me. Yet the allure of transformation, of stepping into a world where my insecurities would vanish, called to me with an irresistible siren song. "All right," I finally relented, my voice tinged with trepidation. "Show me this place, this path to liberation you speak of." A subtle glimmer of triumph danced within Daniel's eyes, a knowing smile playing at the corners of his lips. "Excellent," he whispered. "I promise, Rachel, your life will never be the same again." Little did I know that the path I had chosen would lead me down a treacherous road. Some days later, our safe place turned into a nightmare. People heard terrible stories about what had happened and brought it to the group. Two souls who trusted private messages met a horrible end. Our group fell apart, stained by tragedy. Fear took hold of us, suffocating hope. In the aftermath of this ghastly revelation, a collective shudder coursed through the remnants of our shattered sanctuary. Suspicion hung in the air like a poisonous fog, tainting every interaction, every whispered conversation. The very foundations of trust crumbled beneath the weight of suspicion, leaving us stranded in a treacherous void of uncertainty. Fear clawed at the edges of my consciousness, transforming the once familiar faces into potential threats. But it was Daniel, the enigmatic messenger who taunted my thoughts the most. Was he the harbinger of death, disguised beneath a veneer of charm and allure? I dared not confront him, fearing the answers that awaited me in the depths of his eyes. Days turned into a nightmare, with Daniel's messages growing scarier. It felt like he was always there, lurking just out of sight. The line between the online world and reality blurred, his taunting messages haunting my every waking moment. I couldn't take it anymore. I packed my things in fear and deleted my social media accounts, desperately seeking refuge in a faraway place. The young woman who sought support found herself trapped in a world of torment and despair, a mere echo of her former self.
I walked through the sliding doors of Target, the familiar chime announcing my arrival. The store bustled with activity, shoppers weaving through aisles and employees restocking shelves. It was an ordinary day, or so I thought. As I meandered through the immaculately organized sections, the bright fluorescent lights casting an unnatural glow, a woman caught my attention. She stood amidst the bustling crowd, her face etched with distress. Her eyes darted anxiously from side to side, like a cornered prey searching for an escape route. The atmosphere seemed to tighten around her, suffocating her in a palpable grip of fear. Her hands trembled uncontrollably, clutching a crumpled piece of paper that was once pristine white. The paper was now a testament to her growing apprehension, its edges wrinkled, ink smudged with sweat-soaked fingertips. Every fold and crease whispered of her torment, the fragile paper mirroring the fragility of her state of mind. A knot formed in my own stomach as I approached her, drawn to the tangible aura of anxiety that emanated from her being. I could almost taste the acrid tang of fear that hung in the air, mingling with the scent of plastic and freshly printed advertisements. Her gaze met mine, and I felt a surge of empathy for the turmoil etched in her expression. It was as if a silent scream resided within her, desperate to be unleashed. The weight of her unease settled upon me, clutching at my own chest as if I had unwittingly stepped into her world of terror. "Excuse me," I said, my voice soft and cautious, aware that any sudden movement could shatter the fragile composure she maintained. "Is everything okay?" Her lips trembled, forming words that struggled to escape the clutches of her fear. Something is wrong," she stammered, her voice barely whisper. "I found this note in my daughter's backpack. It says someone is planning something terrible here, at this store." I watched as her fingers tightened their grip on the crumpled paper, the delicate parchment cringing under the pressure. Her eyes pleaded for understanding, desperate for someone to share her burden, to validate the haunting premonition that gnawed at her sanity. At that moment, the weight of her fear became my own. The bustling shoppers and cheerful music receded into a distant hum, and the walls of the store seemed to close in, suffocating me with a nameless dread. I had entered her world of trepidation, and there was no escape from its chilling embrace. I took the note from her, the words scribbled hastily on the crumpled paper. "The clock ticks. Danger hides amidst the aisles. Beware of the red cart. Tonight, lives will change forever." The cryptic message sent shivers down my spine. Something sinister was afoot, and I knew I couldn't ignore it. I reassured the woman that I would look into it and started my investigation. I discreetly observed the store, paying attention to the shoppers and employees and searching for any signs of suspicious behavior. The minutes ticked by, each one intensifying the unease that settled in the pit of my stomach. I noticed a man pushing a red cart, his eyes darting around as if he was being watched. Intrigued, I tailed him discreetly, my senses heightened. Suddenly, he vanished behind a display of household appliances. Curiosity getting the better of me, I followed him, entering a narrow corridor hidden from the main aisles. My footsteps echoed ominously as I ventured deeper, the air growing thick with apprehension. I cautiously approached a dimly lit room, hidden behind an ordinary door. The voices inside were muffled, but I could hear their secretive and whispered tones. It felt like they were up to something, and it sent a chill down my spine. As the flickering light danced, I could make out the faces of store employees huddled together, their expressions filled with an unsettling intensity. But it wasn't just their mere presence that sent shivers down my spine. It was something more sinister, an intangible aura that hung heavy in the air. Their eyes darted nervously, like wolves guarding a hidden prey, and their lips moved in whispers that carried the weight of hidden malevolence. I strained my ears, focusing intently on their words, seeking to piece together the fragments of their conversation. The gravity of their intentions unfurled like a sinister tapestry, threading my mind with dark imagery. "Once the store closes, we make our move," a voice murmured, its tone laced with a chilling determination that cut through the stifling atmosphere. "The cash office is the key. The money is just the beginning," another voice chimed in words dripping with greed and ambition. A cold shiver traced its icy path down my spine as their intentions became clearer. This wasn't a mere heist. It was a meticulously planned act of treachery, entwined with something far more sinister. The realization tightened its grip around my heart, suffocating the very breath within me. "We can't leave any witnesses," another voice declared, punctuating the air with a chilling finality. "They'll find out." It was in that haunting moment that the full extent of their plans unveiled itself, like a veil being lifted to reveal a malevolent secret. Their intentions reached beyond mere theft, hinting at a darkness that surpassed the boundaries of reason. My mind raced, conjuring images of unspeakable acts, of lives forever altered by their calculated malevolence. Dread washed over me, the weight of their intentions threatening to crush the fragile balance of safety that remained. I knew I had to act swiftly, to unearth the truth and bring their sinister designs crashing down before innocent lives were irreparably shattered. Whoever dropped that note inside that woman's daughter's backpack probably caught a glimpse of their plans and didn't know what else to do. A sense of urgency flooded my veins. I needed to stop them. But how? I discreetly retreated, making sure to make no noise, lest I got caught and became the first scapegoat. The idea they nursed in my head, and I didn't know what best to do. To report them or catch them myself? Catching them myself would have been too much of a risk. First, I sought out the woman who gave me the notes, but she was nowhere to be found. Not in the store, not outside. That gave me the confidence I needed. I made my way to the store manager's office. However, before I could get to him, I recognized one of the men from the room as he entered the manager's office. That left me with no other option but to discreetly contact the police, providing them with every detail I'd gathered about the impending crime. Time was of the essence, and I trusted that they would handle the situation with the utmost professionalism. I left as soon as I reported to the police. If the woman who told me about it was gone, I didn't want the employees to suspect me if they saw me around. Later that night, as I watched the news, a sense of relief washed over me. The anchor reported that the police had successfully intervened, apprehending the would-be criminals at the precise moment they had planned their heist. The details were scarce, as law enforcement wanted to maintain the integrity of the ongoing investigation. Knowing that justice has been served, I felt a weight lift from my shoulders. The dangerous plot had been thwarted, and the store, its employees, and the innocent shoppers were safe from harm.